This is Defeating the Curse, and we're back. Lots happening in D.C. over the last 48 hours or so. We have a GM that's missing. We have a quarterback that's not under contract. We have a team that's streaking, playing some lights-out basketball. Our hockey team is finding their groove again. A lot's going on in sports, and we got a lot to discuss tonight, gentlemen. A lot to discuss. I think we got to start with Kirk, though. I know the McLuhan thing is breaking right now as we're coming on air, but Kirk is as good as gone in my opinion. I think he's a couple nights ago I said he was going to be one and done. There's no way they bring him back on the franchise again. And now the talk is potentially someone's out there dangling two number ones. I don't see how the Redskins don't take that deal, because I don't see how they can possibly extend him again. And that long-term contract just looks like it's not going to happen. So as a fan, I'm crushed. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared. All that talk about if they don't sign him to a long-term deal or if he walks, I'm not cheering for this team anymore. Those feelings are all kind of bubbling up inside of me, but I just don't see how this happens. I mean, we got him on a waiver. It looks like one more year. But I don't know how successful they can be if Deshaun and Pierre and all his weapons aren't back. You got free agents just kind of becoming available. You know, unfortunately, we have a bad history with our owner getting caught up in the hype of, sexy names that hit the free agency market. So it's a very unsettling time to be a Skins fan. And Kirk, my man, sucks. I really was hoping that the news would be 4 years, 5 years, a big chunk guaranteed, and this topic would be put to rest, but it looks like he's as good as gone.
What makes you think, I'm assuming you think San Francisco's dangling those two ones?
That's the rumor, right, is that, Shanny's out there and he's saying maybe take a one this year and a one next year, and
honestly,
I think bring him home.
Two things are probably going to – I don't think San Francisco's dangling two ones, because Kyle Shanahan was here when we gave away all those picks for RG3. I don't think he wants to go through that again. I think he wants his picks. And essentially, why would you give up two first rounds this year when essentially all you have to do is wait it out, and next year you could get Kirk for even less and still have your picks? Because if we're not going to give him a contract this year, that just means wait it out 1 year, see what you can do with your picks, see how your offense clicks with the guys you have. And then next year, if you want to get Kirk, then you make a real push. I honestly don't think that San Francisco's dangling two ones. And on top of that, that's the only team I see Kirk Cousins willing to go to. L.A. is not going to do it right away. Kirk doesn't want Cleveland. He doesn't want New York. He doesn't want all those other options that people are floating around. I honestly think that because we slapped on that exclusive tag, it honestly means that we are going to try to work something out. And it could just be the homer in me. I could just be sipping the Kool-Aid again. But I honestly think we're going to try to get something worked out before the deadline and make it happen. I mean, you heard Gruden today say that he thinks he's going to be our quarterback for a long time. I mean, I think the fact that Gruden was comfortable saying that today is a big sign that the Redskins are like, okay, now we can talk about it. We put the tag on. Now people can – we can kind of show.
No, but come on. Hold on. What is he supposed to say? Yeah, I really wanted to get a deal done, but upper management's not paying attention. Well, what's he supposed to say? Of course he's going to come out and publicly say, yeah, Kirk's our guy and we're excited that he's back and blah, blah, blah. What's he supposed to say, right?
He could say the same things he said about RG3 when RG3 was his quarterback and he was doing everything he could to get rid of him. Okay, Gruden doesn't have a problem being non-committal to a quarterback if it's not his guy. I mean,
that's fair.
Everything that's come out in the last 24 hours has been actually positive. We finished episode one of his podcast, and Paul said, hey, what are they going to do? And we all said, franchise, and he's gone. I actually think in the last 24 hours, I'm encouraged that he is franchised. Look at what's happened. The exclusive franchise, not the non-exclusive, meaning he can't talk to other teams. Gruden comes out and says he's the quarterback. Ian Rappaport reports that the Redskins need, like an RG3 type amount to get back in a trade, meaning he's not tradable. They don't want to trade him. Anything that comes out in the last 24 hours, I'm actually encouraged that I think he's going to they could potentially work something out. And this is the first step to a long-term deal. And I think Cousins, Kirk, as he's a smart guy. As he goes on, he's going to realize this is the best place for him to be, and there's nothing appealing about going to these other places. So I'm encouraged.
Let me chime in here for a second. Let me talk about just a few of the quotes that Gruden said today in his non-scheduled meeting with some of the media. He says, "We'd like to keep Kirk here, obviously." And then he goes on to say, "It's very important to have our quarterback in place. We know how important that is in pro football. We see his progress. We see the progress that he's going to make, and we're excited about that." And then he goes on to say, "Both parties have to come up with something. We could offer Cousins the world, but if he doesn't want to sign here, he doesn't have to. And maybe we need to do a better job of that. So I think it will happen." And then he goes on to say, at the end, he says, "I think it'll happen. I really do. I'm going to coach the players that are here, and I fully anticipate Kirk to be the quarterback." Now, I don't think we ever heard Gruden say that in RG3 years. He always said, "We need better play from all the players." He never really singled RG3 out, but you could tell from what he was saying, he really wanted RG3 to be better, and he just wasn't there. So I think Gruden stood up on the table in Ashburn and went against the grain to have Kirk be a starting quarterback. So I think Gruden's all in for him. Now let me ask you this: What if Scott is the one who's not in for Kirk? And who knows? Scott may not even be here at this point, handling family matters. I mean, I hate to speculate about anything, but that doesn't usually sound good when there's a term that's so generic like that, handling family matters. What if Scott's not even going to be here in a couple weeks?
It doesn't even matter that he's handling family matters. I mean, it's got to be extreme for a GM whose biggest thing is talent acquisition to not be at a scouting combine. That is literally his bread and butter. Like, if anyone had a bread and butter, it would be Scott McLuhan, the GM, finding diamonds in the rough at the scouting combine and bringing in all these players. And everyone's like, "Wow, how do you even know to get that guy? How do you even build that type of defense? How do you build that type of offense?" That is his thing. So for him to miss that combine, it's bigger than, I mean, it's pretty big right now, but I'm telling you, tomorrow, the next news cycle, whatever, it's going to blow up even more. And it could be the alcohol thing. It could be Bruce Allen putting an even tighter muzzle on him, saying, "You can't even go. I don't want any leaks, anything." I mean, I can't even speculate what it is, but I mean, it's something huge.
But take a step back here for a second, okay? The 49ers 2 years ago were, or 3 years ago or whenever it was, they were a few plays away from the Super Bowl, basically, okay? That's a town that got accustomed to somewhat competitive teams. They spent like $5 bazillion on that weird stadium that doesn't face the right way, and everybody gets blinded going in both directions somehow when they're playing in the afternoon there. There's a lot of money invested out there. I mean, they brought in Chip Kelly. That didn't work out so well. They don't have a quarterback. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, if I have a chance to get the most important position on my team locked up with a player that I've coached previously that I like that can do the job, I'm going to do it. This isn't so much the RG3 weird package for an unproven talent. This is locking up a top 10, top 8, maybe top 5 quarterback in the league right now for basically two draft picks that who knows what type of talent you're going to draft with it for a franchise that's essentially got to win or at least remain competitive right now. You got the Rams in their division. Obviously the Seahawks as well. I could totally see the 49ers
Joe, if you're Kirk Cousins, why would you go to play for the 49ers at this point? If the money is equal and all else is equal, what other thing besides Kyle Shanahan would make you want to go there? And by the way, Kyle Shanahan, Jay Gruden, it's the same offense. I mean, they're running the same things here. So what advantage would playing in San Francisco have, assuming the money is equal? But why
is the money
such a sexy pick? Name me
it's not
a stud in San Francisco.
No, I agree with you.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. There's some breaking news that I have to share. Just on Twitter from Washington Post, that McLuhan isn't at the combine because of a death in the family. So that's enough speculation on whether he's going to be around or not. Seems like it's just
overblown.
And
you don't that's more fluff? That's pretty
it's weird to say
that.
Yeah. I mean, are we supposed to be happy that there's a death in his family? I mean, it's kind of a weird catch 22. I mean, we need him, right? Like, he's our primary talent evaluator, as Paul said earlier. And to answer Steve's point, there's nothing sexy about going to play in the 49ers with the 49ers. They do have a better stadium. Their fans are probably even maybe slightly more energetic. I don't know than our fans here in DC. I don't know. I won't speculate on that. But that team, I mean, the money is the difference, right? And if Kirk's got a chance to go play somewhere, you know, basically for the same amount of money this year, but get that guaranteed. Look, let's just look at the numbers here. You want to talk about how badly the Redskins have messed this up? They could have probably offered him $50 million guaranteed last summer and $18, $19, $20 million per, maybe $60 million and $18 million per, and locked him up. They've basically just committed to spending $44-ish million on him over 2 years with no long-term deal in place. There's no way they're going to do another $34 million next year. That'll bring it to $78 million. That's crazy. No one's made $78 million in this league in 3 years.
That's
never happened.
No,
I mean,
I agree they're not going to tag him again, but that's because I'm telling you, they are going to get that deal done. And on top of that, going back to the San Francisco thing, I honestly don't see it. Because if I were Kyle Shanahan, who had an electric offense in the Redskins, went to Cleveland, had a whatever random year thing that was, and then goes to Atlanta, completely turns that around. If I were Kyle Shanahan, I would want to go to San Francisco and be like, I can do this with all my own pieces. I don't need anybody else from any other team. I don't need anyone my dad had. I don't need anything like that. If I were Kyle Shanahan, I would want to not be like – out there to prove himself, but to almost be like, I'm so talented that I don't need to go and acquire the hottest free agent quarterback, because there's plenty of other quarterbacks out there that are free agents right now that can do just as well as Kirk in a Kyle Shanahan offense.
No. He's not going to bring Jay Cutler to San Francisco and have a Matt Ryan type year. I mean, you said it yourself. He had a whatever year in Cleveland. If he's got talent to coach, especially at that quarterback position, we know he can turn the other positions around the quarterback into above average. He could take an average talent, make it above average talent. But you guys, I mean, just the Redskins don't have a choice, in my opinion. They actually have to trade him at this point. Because there's no way
Hold on.
What kind of contract would they have to offer him today? How much guaranteed money would they have to offer Kirk today to get him to sign on the dotted line over 4 or 5 years? They're going to pay him what? They're going to put $60 million guaranteed, $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah,
that means
exactly
they've committed. Hold on,
put.
But that means that they've committed $100 million to one player effectively for 3 years, and he'll be able
Who
to
cares?
Walk after that.
Who cares?
I'm not a
the guaranteed money Wait. Conversation is just bogus, because whether it's guaranteed or not, if he's there, he's going to get that money. So the guaranteed money just gives you a way out. I don't see Kirk going anywhere in 2-3 years anyways. So give him his money, let him play. And let me say this. Don't you think Kyle has learned from his dad? His dad mortgaged the future for RG3, whether it was his decision or not, whatever, and he got fired for it. Kyle's not going to mortgage his first year as a head coach into putting all his chips into getting a quarterback, and then it doesn't work out, and then he's going to be gone in a year or two. So I don't think Kyle's not going to do that. And then plus, from the cousin side, why would he want to go to San Francisco? Does he have a Jordan Reed there? No. Does he have an offensive line like the Redskins do? No. He doesn't have any of those things. It's just it's not a good fit for him. I don't know why he would want to do that.
It's so stupid.
He plays on offense. What does he care if he's on offense?
We talk about $24 million versus $18 million. That was the delta between where they were at. They were offering $18, $19. Kurt wanted $24 million. You know what $5 million a year is? It's Perry Riley. It's who the hell was that nickel corner? Tracy Porter. Like, we're really talking about Perry Riley and Tracy Porter. Like, is it really that big of a deal Like
when you have 39
million
a year? Steve, you're really oversimplifying it, because that 5 million that we don't in theory have by signing Kirk, or, you know, I understand what you're saying, but let's say Kirk is not on the team. You can bring back every single position, every skill player that's right now a free agent. You can bring back Baker, Deshaun, Pierre. You can extend everybody and keep everybody and go draft. And I'm sure Bruce Allen is sitting somewhere saying, what's the fall off between Kirk at 24 million and Jay Cutler at 6? Could I bring AP to play behind him? Can I bring Jay Cutler and Adrian Peterson together
and
with Deshaun
and
Pierre?
Let's not trash out here.
The curse continues, Joe. That is the dumbest mentality. If our front office has that mentality, it's the dumbest mentality to ignore the most important position in all of sports and to assume, and you're acting like these guys are building like a mega all-star team around them. Okay, they don't know talent if it hit them in the face. So to assume that they're going to take $24 million and turn it into 6 Pro Bowlers is ridiculous. Okay, ignored the most important position.
I'm not saying I would do it, and I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just saying if you had to give a percentage between 0 and 100 or the likelihood that they've had those conversations, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to take the over that they've probably had some of those conversations, and they're looking at the free agent quarterbacks, and they're saying, yeah, there's going to be a drop-off, but maybe we can use this money to keep – because, look, the other side of it is, how could Jay Cutler succeed if he's got the same weapons that Kirk Cousins has? And
no,
the answer to that
no,
question, they,
no,
absolutely
sorry, well,
not.
How can you flat out say no? How can you
have
say
you
this
seen
won't
how
happen?
Many, he, if you if
how many,
D'Angelo Hall
how many seasons has Jay Cutler played all 16 games? He doesn't even say
no.
On the
Zippy,
field.
Zippy. I know it's because his wife is a smoke show,
it's
as we always cover here.
On top of that, don't forget that the Eagles tried exactly what you're saying. The Eagles. What was it, 3 years ago, the year before Chip Kelly, literally brought in every big-name free agent they possibly could. They had an all-star team, according to paper, with – who is their quarterback? I forget.
Nick Foles.
Can you remind me? Nick Foles?
Nick Foles.
All right. How great were they? They really weren't that great. Did they perform to what they should have performed for how expensive that team was? Absolutely not. That team was way more expensive than the productivity they got out of them. And that's the concern that you should have right now. I would rather pay the money and ensure that you have the same productivity than get rid of the one guy that's costing you money and then every single person falls down because of him. Crowder has
the
a bad game.
The truth of the matter is, Joe,
horrible.
The only reason that Chris Baker is important and something we need to be talking about is because we have a Pro Bowl quarterback in Kirk Cousins. The only reason that we need to talk about bringing Pierre back is because we have someone that can throw him the ball. You get rid of that foundation, and none of it matters. All of it is crap. Bring back Pierre, bring back Sean, bring back Baker. They're all going to suck because you don't have the foundation of the team. And this is the curse in a nutshell, is ignoring the most important position in sport. Look at the Patriots. They won't even get rid of Garoppolo on the bench because they want two great quarterbacks. This is incredible. So, I mean, why do we have to be the opposite of the Patriots? Like, just sign him. And I'm actually confident. I give it a week, and I think a long-term deal. I think everyone will come to their senses. I think cooler heads will prevail, and we'll see a contract here for Kirk, and we'll all celebrate.
And don't forget, this was also reported this morning that the Redskins had contact with McLuhan's agent since the end of the season, and they're going to plan on having more contact at the combine, and that goes for Pierre and Deshaun too. So all these reports that the Redskins haven't talked to them and there's no communication, I think that's all bogus. That's all off-season talk.
Honestly,
I agree with Steve. I think
there's got to be about
in the next 2 weeks,
there's an 85% chance that Kirk is getting signed before the deadline. I'm going to go ahead and say 85% chance he's getting signed. I just don't see a way around it. We're not gonna give him the transitional tag next year. We're not gonna dangle him for low hanging fruit this year because nobody wants to pay franchise quarterback money or in terms of picks if we don't even want to give him the money. You can't have it both ways. We want our cake and we want to eat it too. It's not gonna happen.
I love Farrah because he's the eternal optimist, DC Homer. Okay, 85 is way too high. I go 60-40. I was at 40-60 over the last couple of days. Before the last 24 hours, I'm up to 60-40. I think Bruce Allen, I think there'll be a lot of pressure coming in. He'll get a deal done. It won't be pretty. It'll be the highest contract we've ever seen for a quarterback, but that's okay. He gets a deal done.
I'm going to go 99.99959. Kirk Cousins getting signed by the July deadline. I'm telling
he's
you, it's going to happen.
Now.
I said this on the last podcast. I said he's going to get signed before the July deadline, and I'm sticking by it. I'm going 99.99959.
Joe's going to come in here with what, a 30%?
Zippy. Big fat.
Are you even a Redskins
percent?
Fan?
Yeah, that's the problem, is I'm a Redskins fan. 0% chance. Zero. 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 Zippy. Big fat Zippy.
Someone write
look,
this
you're
down
older.
In the book.
You've been feeling the curse a little bit longer than me and Paul, so that's why you're so negative right now.
This whole thing is this is perfect Redskins. We have talent. We will not retain it. We will get nothing for him when he walks and goes probably to Denver next year for a bag of chips and wins a Super Bowl. And what are we supposed to cheer for him or not? I have no idea. For me,
oh no, then you become true homers and you're all in for Colt McCoy.
Well, so, hey, let's recap that. Joe, you said zero. Paul, what did you say? Percentage?
85.
Steve?
60.
Paul, I go 5.9. Let's
talk
about something that's 99.999.
Oh. From slang that none of us know.
That's a technical term. Nobody knows that term.
Guys,
that's a technical term.
Can we shift gears a little bit here? Because the other night, I witnessed something. I haven't watched a lot of Wizards games in Italy. I got a three-year-old who's driving me crazy. But I sat and watched the entire Wizards versus Warriors game Tuesday night at the phone booth. And that was one hell of a game. And I haven't watched a lot of Wizards games, like I said. But that team and those 48 minutes, they look like contenders. They look like they can compete with anyone. I don't know if it's an aberration. I don't know if obviously the Durant injury it was bad. It was in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Durant
they look really good. Is that how they look? Is that their peak play? I mean,
that's our team.
I've been saying that for years now.
Oh yeah, I don't know about years. I mean. Check the blog. Go to the blog.
I'm sure Coach Brooks has had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's completely turned it's more than just the style of play. It's the mindset. I mean, Steve, to answer your question, this is how the Wizards were playing prior to the All-Star break. And, you know, it's one of those things that we've never had the chance to appreciate, the All-Star break, you know, screwing with team chemistry, because usually we're not really that competitive we're somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 position come All-Star break time, where we're sitting in third, and they played like the second, maybe even the best team in the Eastern Conference against the Warriors. I know we talked about it the other night leading before the game, saying I know I was on the record saying I think they match up great with Kevin Durant on the court. I think they match up even better with them with him off, obviously, because he's an incredible player. But in reality, anytime. That the strength of the opposing team is the point guard position, my money's on John Wall. There were some bad passes. Like John Wall had some sloppy plays, especially down the stretch towards the late in the fourth quarter. I think it was Bradley Beal had a couple too. There was some sloppy like lob passes that didn't connect, and just some errant passes. And you know, that's okay. I'll take some of that. But man, they played poised down the stretch. Otto Porter, my goodness, man, that dude is a baller. And personally, I was never big on him when he got drafted. He was too lanky and too weird, but man, he finds that corner, he spots up, and he's not going to miss. With a hand in his face or not, he is a knockdown shooter.
Does John Wall, he takes it personal when he plays against these Steph Curry, Kyrie Irvings. I mean, he was going at him.
Absolutely.
Did you guys know John Wall
had the cold yesterday too?
I didn't know about the cold.
He was potentially not going to play.
He came out with 19 assists. Breaking insider news here.
Twitter news. 19 assists.
He's career definitely high, the player assists. that has that swagger that he brings to the entire team. Like, you can tell, just like Steve was saying, when he's going up against, like, the true primetime elites that their names keep getting tossed around, John Wall gets mad that his name is not constantly thrown in there, even though he's usually ranked in, what, top two in assists, top three in steals, whatever he's ranked in. I mean, he gets mad that his name's not thrown around there more often.
But at the end of the day, I think
the Wizards had a really good matchup with the Warriors. The Warriors try to go play small ball, and that's just something that the Wizards can actually do. What the Wizards actually have problems with is when teams go really big on them, they struggle to get in the lane. Specifically,
I know our big guys did pretty well today.
How many lob passes to Markieff Morris did John Wall have yesterday? I mean, it's just the chemistry that is there, the eye contact is there. It's just everything is just clicking for them, which is completely different than the first two games they had post All-Star break.
Well, they played. I mean, what I saw is that was a team playing team basketball, right? There was movement on both sides of the court. They were switching on defense very actively. Even John Wall was waving players off. He wanted to guard Steph, which was, like, that's something I love to see. You know, and on the offensive side, Bojo knocks down threes, and everybody was getting in on it yesterday. I mean, the ball movement was there. The defense was there. Now, we still can't close teams out, and that's been something that plagues all of our sports teams. When we talk about the curse, I mean, we can build a lead. They actually did it tonight, too. And then, you know, it's partly the rhythm of the game, but teams find their way back. I mean, how many layups did Steph Curry have down the stretch last night? I mean, he was getting in the lane as frequently as Wall was, but he was getting the calls. I mean, I think at one point late in the fourth quarter, the Wiz had shot like three free throws total in the fourth quarter or something like that. And then they just don't get calls. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, we'll take the W. With Kevin Durant not there, it's hard to really assess, you know, what happens if we meet in the finals and we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But come on, hold on a second. But it's when we look at the Eastern Conference right now.
Did LeBron die?
He didn't. No, he's not dead, but he is complaining constantly. I mean, he's just a huge bitch, constantly complaining.
I mean, that's been LeBron since season one, though. I mean,
he wants all the talent. He wants all the talent in the league on his team, so he doesn't have to work. And he kills Chuck for he kills Barkley for saying it on national TV, saying this guy doesn't want to compete. He wants Melo on his team. He's got Deron Williams on his team. He wants Bogut on his team. He doesn't want to play.
I'll go out and say it's nuts.
That.
Wall's definitely a better competitor than LeBron. Wall will definitely go out there, and he'll carry that team, and he won't say a peep. He'll just smile in the stands, split the lane, jam it down their throat, and then just keep going. LeBron, every 14 seconds, is complaining to the refs, and he's about to cry. I mean, that's absolutely a fact. But you were right when you were talking about how fast we start. And honestly, that's what the elite teams do. They're just going to come out, shut you down right away, and you're playing catch-up the whole time. It's ruining your substitutions. It's ruining everything. It's ruining your bench play, all of that. And that's what we need to do. We need to start fast. I mean,
we had 40 just, points in the first quarter against the Warriors. I mean,
yeah,
that's somebody talking about a fast start.
We were 62.5% in the first quarter. 62.5%.
Let's go back to reality here, because I saw a problem that I think creeps back into the fold when you get into April and May, when you get into the playoffs. It's that they don't have an end-of-game closer. And that, to me, is what distinguishes John Wall versus Kyrie Irving. I know DC Homer is going to jump on my back here, but honestly, towards the end of the game, he defers to Beal, and there's kind of this confusion. And I know, Joe, you brought it up with kind of that end-of-game offense was kind of helter-skelter, and they were wasting a lot of possessions. That doesn't fly in April and May, when Kyrie Irving is closing out games and LeBron James is not closing out games. Kyrie's the closer over there. And they know, and he knows his role. And that, to me, again, goes back to John Wall's weakness, is that whole mid-range jump shot that I haven't seen him consistently making. That, to me, towards the end of the game, gets much more important as teams start clamping down in the paint. You've got to hit those jumpers, and that's where kind of Kyrie has an advantage. So, you know, they survived yesterday. They held on to the lead. They won the game. But come April, May, they better have a better end-of-game offense to close out games.
I would say yes to that about John Wall. However, this season, he has closed out a number of games. Not only is he closing out by scoring, but he's getting that assist that is that closer, that assist to Otto Porter in the corner for that three. So he's a distributor, man. You gotta let him distribute, and he's not that scorer who's gonna score 30 points a game. But just let him do his thing.
Well, his thing, though, has got to be, to Steve's point, I mean, when John Wall's hitting that mid-range jumper consistently, or at least threatening by taking it, Gortat gets layups. And how many did they get yesterday? I kind of agree. I think Bradley Beal is our closer. I think he's proven himself to be up for the big shot at the end of the game. But he really hasn't had to take that many of them. Like, he's never really been consistently forced into that position. But I'm still really confident in our team. I mean, we saw it again tonight against the Raptors. I mean, these were two big games. And I think on Sunday, most of us would have taken a 1-1 split between these two to get two wins and have an opportunity for a third against the Raptors again on Friday. I mean, this team is playing, like, really good basketball. I mean, who's playing better basketball right now in the Eastern Conference or maybe in the entire league? I mean, they are balanced. And with the Brandon Jennings signing, they get deeper. They get another ball handler that can come in, spell Wall a little bit, maybe even play some of that too. I've loved Brandon Jennings since he was drafted by the Bucks. I mean, the guy is, I mean, it's many, many, many years ago. And I think he did a stint in Europe before he was drafted and then after also. And I don't know, I haven't really seen much of him this season, but if he's a shell of himself, he'll give him that 7 to 15 minutes or so a night. That's really all we need. And you know, just looking at Cleveland, who is the current number one seed in the Eastern Conference, I don't really think they got that much better with Deron Williams. And I don't think Bogut makes them that much better either. I think they're already a very good team, and it's a marginal improvement. I think Brandon Jennings actually has the chance to propel the Wizards a little bit further, just because the one thing that we don't have, as good as Trey Burke is, like, Brandon Jennings is actually a point guard, and he can actually handle the rock, and he can actually distribute. So that second unit is actually getting a big boost, I think, once Jennings gets up to speed with the playbook and kind of earns the minutes.
Which will be huge if they play the way they did tonight.
Counter your point about closing. Think about this. What if you had John Wall at the point, Markieff Morris at the five, Bogdanovich and Otto Porter at the three and four, and Beal? But you essentially got John Wall with four other players who can shoot that three, who can shoot from pretty much anywhere on the court. I mean, that could be a recipe for closing games. You don't really need to go big at the end of the games.
On top of that, you know, one glaring stat last night about the Wizards that shows that we can close? We were 10 for 10 in the free throws in the fourth quarter. That's how you close the game. You got to do plays like that. You got to make the easy buckets.
True.
You got to get all your free throws thrown. You got to get all that stuff taken care of, and that's what we did. When the time came, we made the big plays.
Well, yeah, but it would be nice to not be in a constant situation where, you know, the teams that we've got down by 15 or 16 points, it happened again tonight. They had a nice padded lead against Toronto, and Toronto crept their way back into the game. So, I mean, overall, as a DC sports fan, I'm looking at them evaluating this Wizards team. This is a good team. We got a good coach, and it's solid. I mean, it's talent throughout. So, I mean, there's nothing to not be encouraged about when you look at this team.
Well, I think tonight's W is actually more impressive than last night's. I mean, you talk about you go out and you beat the Warriors at home on Tuesday night. You get on a plane, you go to Toronto, and you then beat the Raptors on the next night. I mean, talk about this should be a total letdown. It should be a total kind of throwaway game.
Yeah,
Starters
game.
Are tired. Yeah, this is a great victory. It shows that these guys are hungry. These guys aren't settling. So let me ask one question. We talked a couple days ago. We talked about predictions for the Wizards season. A lot of us were high on it. Do the last two nights change those predictions in any way? I'm assuming if they do, it increases those predictions. But let's go around the room. Let's start with Paul H.
Does it change my prediction? No, because I was going Eastern Conference Finals. So, nope. Eastern Conference Finals, that's my prediction.
Losing in the Eastern Conference Final.
No comment.
Oh, come on.
Let's hope for the best here. Let's hope for the best.
Sack up, buddy. Sack up.
I think, you know what? I don't think it changes the prediction.
I'll say losing in the finals. That's fine. I say losing in the finals in six.
In six games,
yep.
To the Warriors.
Again.
I'm assuming.
No, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Finals.
To the Cavs.
Oh,
Eastern
to the
Conference
Cavs.
Finals.
Losing to the Cavs in six in the finals.
Yep.
I will say the only way they get to the Eastern Conference Finals is if they get out of the four position, get into the three position, and which they're in now because the Raptors.
Which just shows how important Friday is.
Yeah, but I think either way, they're losing to the Cavs. Nothing has changed in the last 2 days.
You're going to Eastern Conference Finals?
Eastern Conference Finals. I think it'll be a hard-fought series. They'll still lose in five or six.
I'll go. They make it to Eastern Conference Finals, but we beat the Cavs because LeBron's just going to play that much more minutes before the end, and there's no way he makes a shot like he did again. I say we take it in five.
We take the Eastern Conference in five?
Yep.
I mean, what do you have for the finals? You got to move on. What do you have for the finals?
Paul, we're talking to you. Who you got in the finals if the Wizards escape the East?
You're talking
What's
to
going
me?
On? You fell asleep. Yeah, we're talking to you. They win the East, then
who
they go home.
In the finals?
I don't think we're going to win in five in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who are we going to play in the championship?
Warriors, clearly, and I don't see us taking that at all. Maybe a game seven.
What? I don't understand. Why is everybody still so hot on the Warriors? I don't get it. They're missing Kevin Durant, right, for at least 3 months? 2 months?
Oh, no.
Four weeks.
I don't know. His knee exploded. How many games do you miss when your knee explodes?
It doesn't matter. You miss Kevin Durant. You just have the championship team.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, okay? The Wizards are going to – they're going to finish probably second in the Eastern Conference. They will beat the Cavs, and I agree 100% with Paul that we saw what the Cavs – we saw how they match up against the Wizards on primetime a couple weeks ago, and it took one weird pirouette, out-of-bounds, miracle shot, PlayStation-type shot out of LeBron. Credit to him. You know, it went in, and they ended up beating us in overtime. But I don't see that happening five more times, okay, or four more times. It's not going to happen. So I think if the Wizards can stay healthy, I think if Jennings gets up to speed and actually can spell Wall a little bit, bring those minutes down, and maybe even spell Beal a little bit, I think they have the best shot of my lifetime to actually get out of the Eastern Conference and into the finals. And if they make it to the finals, when they make it to the finals, I don't think they're going to see the Warriors there personally. I think the Kevin Durant injury is much bigger than people are playing it up to be. It's not, you know, he'll be fine, but the team won't. I mean, they didn't retain a lot of talent by bringing him in. And, you know, last I checked, the Spurs were two games, I think, behind the Warriors in the Western Conference right now. And the Rockets, who pretty much can, on any given night, can score 160 points. They're an interesting team
Spurs
that I'm always
four
kind
games
of
behind.
Spurs are four games back. Okay. So, If Kevin Durant is not Kevin Durant by the time the Western Conference Finals come around, I think the Spurs absolutely – Popovich will find a way and he'll get it done one last time. And for me, if the Wizards meet the Spurs in the finals, the Wizards are going to win. If the Wizards meet the Warriors in the finals and the Warriors don't have Kevin Durant, the Wizards are going to win. Like we talk about defeating the curse, the Wizards right now are our best chance – considering the state of the Redskins, it's our best chance to defeat the curse. I don't see why anybody who loves DC sports, when you look at this Wizards team, they are built to compete in the East. They can win the East. And they just took out the best team in the Western Conference, and they match up pretty well against the top three teams in the Western Conference. So, you know, maybe it's not the safest pick, but I like the Wizards, man. They're playing good basketball, and I'm going to bet on John Wall every time.
Joe, you have me convinced. The Wizards are going to win the finals.
There you go, baby. Let's do it.
We need a bet book, okay, for episode 3, okay? We need a whole episode just writing bets down, all right? This is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous? We're the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's not a hot take. That's reality.
Okay,
that's
well,
reality.
Let's put your money or something where your mouth is here, okay?
Okay,
I'll say
the
we're
usual
the
bet.
Team. I don't know if we're...
We need an intern.
We do need an intern. I like the Wizards, man, and Friday night I think is going to be a big game. If they pull that out, then it basically it clearly shows that the Raptors aren't really a threat. I mean, I think I don't know when the next time we're all going to get together, but hopefully by then we'll get some insight into what's going on with McLuhan. We'll get some insight into the Cousins saga. The Wizards keep winning. Hopefully the Caps keep winning, and we'll see what the Nets how they're looking down at spring training. So. I think that's it. Anybody else got anything to say? Or are we done?
Go Wizards.
Go Nats.
Go Skins.
Make sure
God
we fill up
us.
The phone booth.
Let's do it. Till next time, we out.